Hello, it's Peter Wright and Kathleen Beauvais with another episode of The Yakking Show. And this is a very interesting guest because she would be equally at home in both the Harmony Channel and the Business Channel. So we will be putting her episode in both. She has got lots of advice, both on the business and the personal and life front. As always, we have interesting guests. But first of all, let's introduce co-host Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter. Thank you for that. And thank you also very much for tuning in to our show. We so appreciate having you. And as Peter mentioned, we do have an interesting guest with us today. Her name is Kat Newport. Hello, Kat. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kathleen and Peter. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Now, Kat is a leader and expert in conflict management, both personally and within an organization. Today, she's here to yak with us about proactive conflict resolution in the workplace, as well as reducing stress in personal and business life and improving interpersonal relationships. That was a huge mouthful, but let's just jump right in, Kat. How can someone go about identifying and addressing personal conflicts, but potential conflicts rather, before they escalate?
A really great question. The biggest way, or that I think the most important way to take a look at conflict and see that it's coming, is to be aware of self. When you start feeling those inner turmoil things, how could they say that to me? Well, I think I'm angry at you, or you made me so angry. These are good indicators that there might be a conflict already there or one in the offing. So just being aware of what you're feeling, what you're thinking about the situation, what you're predicting about the situation is a good way to take a look at it from a personal scope. As a leader, there are some definite red flags that you want to keep an eye out for in your team. So when communication starts to drop, this is a good indicator that there might be something brewing. When there's a little bit more competition than you'd really like, when there's definitely one force against another force, there might be something brewing under this under the water there. There might be an undertow. So these are some things to keep a look out for when you're in a leadership position.
So, Kat, what are the hidden costs, both material and personal, for unresolved and emotional, for unresolved conflicts in business and in personal relationships?
A lot. In a nutshell, it's a lot. So if we take a look at the CCP report from 2008, so this is a fairly old report, they're estimating about $359 billion U.S.
Wow.
Lost in payable hours every year due to conflict management. That's a chunk of change. We also need to look at the workplace when we have turnover. According to the same report, about 58% of workers have left or are considering quitting because of conflict in the workplace. And we all know that finding talent and keeping talent and training talent is a huge part of any organization's budget. So when you're looking at those costs from an organizational perspective, they're massive. When we're looking at it from a personal perspective, we have that mental health piece, that stress, that burnout, those Sunday night blues where I just can't go in and face them again. I just can't do it. So there's a huge emotional and mental health toll that can come into play with unresolved conflict.
Okay.
Wow. So can I just ask you a follow-up to that? I've been thinking while you were talking, where do you see the most cases of conflict in an organization? Is it peer to peer? Is it one level up? Is it two levels up? Is it generated by subordinates? Is there a common denominator, or is it all over the place?
It's really all over the place, and it really depends on the organizational structure, right? So different organizations are going to experience in different ways. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur and you're just starting up an organization and you've gone from, you know, working out of your back bedroom and now you've got a team of 20 people, that's ripe for conflict. As an entrepreneur, you've just got a new team out. But if you've got a multinational organization, you've got people competing for resources, you've got people who are engaging in change and advancing and innovating within the organization, this causes conflict as well, not just from a stratosphere, so from me to my boss or my boss's boss for that matter. It can also cause issues between teams, human resources to operations, or between colleagues. I'm one human resource manager and you're another, and we have a difference of opinion on how things need to go forward. So it can really be all over the place.
all over the place. And sorry, another quick one. What about protecting turf? Is that a big issue with in big organizations that causes conflict?
It can very much be a turf war. Yeah, if we've got some really big personalities at play, if we've got people competing for those resources that may be perceived as limited, I need a little bit more budget on my side, which means I need to take some away from Kathleen. Kathleen and I are now in conflict. Oh, so those turf wars can definitely come into play in organizations, particularly when it comes to P&L or budget.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I've been there in the corporate world. I know what you're talking about. Sorry, back to you, Kathleen.
Well, here's one for you because actually, I'm interested in your answer and I'll tell you why in a moment. But how can anyone, including a business, foster a culture of open communication, especially for those who don't like confrontation?
So here we are with different personalities, and I have a blog post coming up this week or next week all about how introverts and extroverts, again, very polarizing, introverts and extroverts kind of deal with conflict and deal with communication. So when we look at this from a leadership perspective, it's important to understand and empathize with your entire team. There's not just one leadership style that's going to fit all. If you're leading a group of operators, some of them are going to be those rock stars, always out there, moving and shaking. But you're also going to have those rock solid folks, those ones who make up the foundation of your business, and how you deal with those individuals is going to be very different. And this requires, in a word, empathy. How do I bring the most out as a leader? How do I bring the most out in person A, who's this type of person? And how do I give the best opportunity and get the best out of person B, who's a different type of person? It's not this cookie cutter, boss knows best, just do as I say, which is a very sort of that old school kind of mentality. It's definitely moving into that collaboration, that humanness, that humanity of leadership.
Right. And so how would you approach somebody that is rather conflicted? You can tell that there's something not right, and yet they're afraid to talk because they're afraid to say something, and rightly so, because maybe there's some ramifications for speaking their mind. How do you
So
deal with
I
that?
hear two things when you're presenting that situation to me. The first one that kind of comes to mind is that ramifications piece. If you're in an organization where you've built that organization where people fear ramifications for coming forward for a conflict or for a difference of opinion, I think you have bigger problems than a single conflict on your hand. Number one. Number two, when we're dealing with individuals who are typically on the quieter side, typical or on the more typically non-confrontational, making sure that door is constantly pushed open. So, Peter, I'm here for you if you need anything. You've changed a little bit lately, or a little bit more quiet, Peter. Is everything okay? In a couple of days go by and I'll open that door again. I'm here for you if you need anything. Just keep pushing that door open until that other individual feels prepared, engaged, or brave enough to talk. But it needs to have that constant effort. And that takes us back to that empathy concept. That if that person needs that door constantly open until they feel safe enough, psychologically safe enough to walk through it, that's what we as leaders, friends, partners have to do.
Okay, yeah, good one. Good
I
point.
once worked for an organization, a big organization that I could only describe as very toxic, to be honest, very toxic, because everybody was told that there'd have to be some cutbacks. That they'd be calling in a third party consulting company to come in and analyze what everybody's roles were going to be, and basically watching them to see what they do. And that, oh my goodness, I can't even begin to express to you how awful that was. But how can you have open communication? What it did was it created an atmosphere where people were backstabbing each other because they thought it was survival of the fittest. It's either me or you. How would you go about sorting something like that out?
This comes to me in the form of change management. Managing the change in an effective way means being as open as possible. So what you're describing to me is a huge organizational change. This is a huge org shift. And I've seen this in my career. I've seen this with my clients where, we're not going to tell anybody anything. We're just going to keep it all behind closed doors and just let the cards fall where they may. And this does create that horrible environment, that gladiator style, two men enter, one man leaves kind of thing, beyond Thunderdome kind of moment. If you can spell and keep that open communication from not just a leadership perspective, this is what we're doing as we move forward as an organization, but you also engage those people leaders. People want to hear from their supervisor what's happening, the person they have the most contact with in a position of authority that they have that trust relationship with. So the CEO coming down and saying, "Yes, we're doing this wonderful change and it's going to be great, but we're not going to tell you what's going to happen." That message also has to come through their direct leader saying, "Yes, this change is happening. This is what I know about the change. This is how it's affecting our department or our group. This is how it's going to affect each of us. If you have any concerns, here's pushing that door open. If you have any concerns, come on through the door. This is what I've got. Today's a new day. This is the new information that comes out. Any questions? Here's the push door open." It's about managing that communication and making sure everybody's on the same page.
Okay. My corporate experience was back in the 80s and 90s, so I've got a lot of, and then from then on I worked for myself, so I'm not up to date with current management practices. But would you say the environment for resolving and dealing with conflict in the workplace has improved over the years? I guess it's got a long time to go. Do you think we're on the right track?
I don't know if improved is the right word. I'd say it's definitely changed. I
Changed,
mean, if
okay.
we take a look at most organizations, you have up to five generations in the workplace,
Sure.
from boomers all the way down to our aughts here, who are coming in. So we've got five different generations of people who've all been taught five different ways of dealing typically with conflict. So this is adding a layer of complexity in the workplace on dealing with conflict. We've got groups of people who want more communication, who want more information, who want more engagement, who want more empowerment. We've got the Gen Xers who are a little bit easier in dealing with that. Just put your nose to the grindstone, get her done, the business will take care of me kind of moment. We've got people who are used to making things happen and, do what you're told and don't ask any questions kind of mentality. So all of these things coming together in a workplace creates a huge opportunity for learning, a huge opportunity for conflict management improving over time. But until we all learn how to, manage that expectation of what conflict is, because a lot of people have a real challenge with that one. What conflict is and how we're going to work on that conflict together, it's always going to be a challenge. And I mean, only about 40% of employers put any investment into conflict management training for their team. So they have all these people who have all these different styles, and then we wonder why nobody's getting along. Why is there's fires going on?
Sure. Can I ask you a question on personal ability to deal with confrontation? If one has faced and dealt with and survived fairly severe confrontation, and I'm talking, I lived on a different continent. I've had death threats. I've had guns pointed at me. I've been physically assaulted and all sorts of things and survived. And serious, really serious, nasty confrontation. Surviving that, does that prepare one better to handle confrontation and conflict in the future? Or does what, is there a danger that may harden one into being heavy-handed? I'm really interested, not just from my personal side, but a lot of people have similar situations.
It really depends on the individual. Some individuals will walk out of that environment going, yeah, I can manage anything. I can take on the world. I can storm the beach and everything will be fine. Other folks who come out of that situation walk out of it with severe mental health issues. The PTSD, the depressive states, all of these things, the severe anxiety that would come from managing conflict or being experiencing conflict to that level. So Again, it depends on the individual,
Okay.
but the great thing about most workplaces and most, and I'm not going to say all because I know it's still out there, most relationships is we're not facing that life or death situation
Sure,
on a
sure.
typical basis. And when I do my workshops and that kind of thing, this is actually one of the questions I get quite a bit. Well, what if they get angry and what if they get violent? Violence is there. Violence is something we do have to be aware of. However, most conflicts never ever go down that road,
Sure,
never even get
sure.
close to going down that road.
Right.
Sure. I'm just going to add, I agree 100% what you're saying, and it depends on the individual. I found living through those, I'm no longer afraid of saying something that needs to be said because I don't like conflict. Obviously, we're talking about much milder situations. So, a couple of the organizations I'm involved with put me up as the front man because they know I've got thick skin and can handle the conflict. That was the background to my answer. Do you think resolving at one level helps one with the next level? That's what I'm trying to say.
In a nutshell, yes, absolutely. So when we look at our life experiences, our brain is really good at predicting what's going to happen next. It's a base brain risk management kind of thing. Our brains were designed to save our lives, to keep us alive.
Right.
So our experiences in the past can very much address or cause reactions in the moment. And that reaction can be particularly healthy. I see that you're upset. How do you want to move forward with this? Or it can be particularly unhealthy. I had this really bad problem when I was in university and the guy was a real jerk. And now all these people are going to be real jerks to me and I really don't want to have
Sure.
conflict anymore. So, it depends on the individual, depends on the situation and what's going on in the moment. That informs what the brain does with that risk assessment. When we're dealing with conflict.
Okay, no, great. Thank you for that.
So, Kat, what are the some valuable resources and tools that can help people or organizations implement proactive conflict management?
There were a couple of things, as I indicated before in our chat, only 40% of employers provide conflict management training. One of the easiest ways to avoid conflict is to have a common concept of what conflict is and a common way of dealing with conflict in the moment. If you're setting up your organization that, yes, we proactively deal with conflict and it's a safe space to have a difference of opinion, which is technically all a conflict is, it's going to be a little bit easier for your organization to move forward. So I can't stress enough that getting that common language is going to be important.
Right.
Becoming more self-aware of those reactions that you do have. So when your brain starts predicting, try and find that pause button, even if it's just for a few seconds, as opposed to going into the old conflict management habits, just go, whoa, hang on a second. I'm going to choose to do something different. So making sure that you're self-aware of what's coming up. And you'll see this especially in personal relationships where you're a lot more comfortable, you're a lot more closer to the individual. Some of those nasty habits can kind of come to the surface a little bit faster than we would like. So that's another one. And looking forward is hugely important in a conflict. A bad conflict is a conflict that is stuck. A good conflict is a conflict that moves forward.
Right.
So, when you take a look at my book, I actually use the acronym of WHO. It's the Oculus Owl. So, what is actually bothering you? There's that self-awareness problem. How do you want to see it resolved? So, how do you want to move forward? And then open yourself up to the relationship, open yourself up to negotiation and communication, because every conflict is based on a relationship, a deep relationship, a shallow relationship. If you didn't have a relationship, you wouldn't have conflict.
Sure.
So open yourself up to that relationship. So self-awareness, the WH, how do I want to see it resolved moving forward? And open yourself to that relationship. So those are the three huge keys that I like to base myself on.
Excellent.
Very, very good. Another bit of advice, which you sort of covered as well, is very often the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut for a few seconds longer than you would otherwise.
Pause button. Absolutely, Peter.
Pause button. Tell me, in your studies, I know you're a great reader from discussions we've had on LinkedIn. Do you see major differences in the way other cultures, Asian cultures, for instance, or African cultures handle conflict?
Absolutely. There's massive cultural differences when it comes to dealing with conflict. So, one of the stories I like to use during my workshops is I have a girlfriend and she's from Italy. I'm very much North American, was born here, was raised here. So, we're a little more reserved when it comes to conflict. But in her experience, in her culture, you come out with it, you say it flat, and you go have a glass of wine. No. It's conflict's not a bad thing. It's just out, it's there. This is my emotion. This is what it is. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. So be it. We have some of the best debates ever. However, I never would have approached anyone like that before I met her and learned that this is viable. This is something that can happen. So yeah, every culture definitely has its own perspective on conflict.
Which
That's right.
I'm sure makes it even more challenging from a leadership standpoint, because if
Yeah.
you're dealing with different, different cultures, how do you navigate through that?
So I've got to jump in very quickly and say that in one of my own businesses, I was an export trader in Africa, and I traded with a lot of Greek people. And you could have the most violent arguments over something, and just like your Italian friends say, "Okay, well, we finished business. Let's go and sit down and have a meal and wine," and clapping you on the back and saying, "Oh, you're a good guy," and all that, So
Yeah.
yeah, different styles. Sorry, Kathleen.
That's okay. Was there any other comment you'd like to add to that, Kat?
Good. I was just completely agreeing with Peter.
How do you begin to work with people or organizations that come to you for help, and what services do you offer?
Or it depends on what the organization is looking for. So I do offer and I do work with clients, with employees, one-on-one to do conflict coaching. So how do you typically look at conflict? How do you manage conflict? How do you want to manage conflict moving forward? So that's that self-awareness piece. I'm also a mediator, so I can come in with two individuals or two groups of people and help bridge that communication to help that team or those groups move forward. So that's an option as well. Workshops are really great for exploring the concept and content of what conflict is and how that can show up in the workplace and how you can manage it in the workplace. So I do virtual workshops. I also do in-person workshops to help crews work through that. So it really depends on what the organization is looking for. Is it more of an individual thing? Is it a specific conflict thing? Or is this a general awareness type event?
And you've written books.
Yes, I'm officially an author. It comes out all shiny on Amazon on the 26th of March. It's
Ah,
currently
good.
available for pre-order, but hard copies are coming at the end of March. They're definitely a labor of love. Always wanted to write a book and figured, jumping into entrepreneurship, why not? Let's give it a shot in first year. And Smart Conflict is coming out in March.
Do you would you
Smart
happen to have
Conflict.
would you happen to have a preview of that book, or like to hold up at all?
I do actually. Sorry, as I
Great.
reach right in front of the camera, Sarah, we've got smart. Ooh, gosh.
Oops.
There we go.
Oh. Oh
SmartConflictBook.com. That
no.
doesn't show up. I do have this piece here. There's
Okay.
the cover on Amazon.
All right.
Okay. So yeah, it's definitely
Smart
there.
Conflict. Wonderful.
Oh,
We'll
that's
have to
great.
look out for that on Amazon. Yes.
Yeah, and we'll put that in our newsletter in the week that your episode is published. We always, in our newsletter, we have a section for featured previous guest author of the week. So we will put you and your book in that week with a link to Amazon for you. Something, listening to you speak, in some cases of conflict within an organization, if you were advising or supporting an employee who's got serious conflict issues, in some cases, I would guess the best advice you could give that person is you're going to have to leave and remove yourself from the situation. Is that correct?
Don't like to put myself in advice.
Okay.
I can provide information, but the choices always rest with the individual. I'm very much of the mindset of each individual is a whole, each individual is complete just as they are, and they know their life best. They're coming to me for information so that they can integrate that into their personal experience and how they experience life and they experience their workplace. If through our conversations they come to the point where, yeah, I just can't do this anymore, I really have to leave, that is definitely their decision. But again, it's not my position to give advice on get the heck out of there.
Sure. Now, I understand completely. I didn't phrase the question very well, but looking at it the other way around, for some people, I would guess that, like Kathleen was talking about, a toxic work environment. And in my experience, for some people, the best solution is for them to find another job, right? And that's
Absolutely.
part of life. Unfortunately, it happens, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
58% of people have left or are considering leaving because of conflict in a workplace.
Because of a conflict.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's huge. That's huge.
Massive.
So Kat, for our audience, we always like to ask for one tip for people who have some conflict in their life, either personal or in their business organization. What's one thing you would suggest they start looking at right now to get on the right path to resolve that conflict?
Where do you want to be when the conflict is over?
Okay.
What do you want this relationship, this situation to look like when the conflict is over? Look forward. Don't get stuck in the moment. Don't get stuck in the conflict. Where do you want to be?
That's
Excellent
good
advice.
advice.
Yes,
Excellent.
absolutely. Well, Kat,
Thank you.
how do people contact you? The easiest way to get a hold of me is to drop by my website, www.smartconflictbook.com, and you can reach me there definitely for the book, but you can also reach me through Oculus Inc., which is my organization. So there's a tab there for that. Email, LinkedIn, and Instagram. I'm getting better with the Instagram now. It's a new one for me.
Excellent. That's wonderful.
Great. And for our audio listeners, all those details will be in the description for whichever platform you happen to be listening to this on. And while I've got the floor and the microphone, a quick message for our audience. You've just heard another really interesting and valuable guest. To make sure you don't miss out on our future guests, sign up for our newsletter. Hop onto our website, theyakkingshow.com. There's a form on the front page. We only send you one email a week. We don't overload your inbox, but at least then you'll be in the picture. You'll know who's coming this week, who's coming next week, and who's a good author. Thank you for listening, Kat. Thank you for being with us today. Excuse me, back
Thank
to
you so much for
Kathleen.
having me. Yes, it was wonderful having you on the show today, Kat. Thank you. And thank you all once again for tuning in to our show. If anyone is interested in being a guest on our show, we invite you to visit us at theyakkingshow.com. All you need to do is click on the Contacts tab where you will find a short application form, and we'd love to hear from you. So until next time, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.